Just a heads up, the Razzball podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Hi, it's Nick Capozzi, and a very warm welcome to the Fantasy Football Draft Week Special, the first Razzball Football Podcast of 2013. If you listened to the Razzball Football Podcast last year, you're in for a big treat, because we climbed a very tall mountain in India and actually meditated with multiple gurus for 3 months, and we came back with a new and improved Razzball Football Podcast. Okay, actually, we just went to an Indian buffet and made some notes on a used napkin, but I assure you, the butter chicken was awe-inspiring. So we've teamed up this year with 7-time Crystal Award winner and super producer Kyle Taylor, who took the podcast, jammed it full of PEDs, and just a sprinkle of Adderall to make something that we hope you're going to love. If you've been following us on the baseball side, you know all about our changes, but just act like you pretend it's new, okay? This is going to be the only podcast we do before training camp kicks off, but if you want to interact with the podcast at any time, you can do so by following me on Twitter at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. So here's what we're going to cover today in the Fantasy Football Draft Week Special. The editor over at Razzball Football, Sky, is going to take us through some quick hit opinions of some of the offseason moves that have happened, and then we're going to roll up our sleeves and get to work by looking at the skill position players that were drafted last week and what impact they might bring to the 2013 fantasy season with Murph, JB, and Jay Rong from the football staff down at the Razzball Writing Lab. We'll also fill you in with some of the cool stuff happening with our good friends over at DraftKings.com. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Just kidding. You don't want Gray anywhere near a football podcast. Rudy maybe, but definitely not Gray. It's the Razzball Fantasy Football Draft Week Special. Here we go.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
The Razzball Podcast, NFL offseason recap.
It is absolutely, you know what? I'm going to go so far as to say this might be the most pleasurable experience I've had all year doing the Razzball Podcast, because I have the head editor over at the football side, Mr. Sky. You can follow him at Sky_Razzball right here on the first Razzball Football Podcast of the year. Sky, hi.
Good morning, my man.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's still early over here. And I'm only 3 coffee cups in, so.
Well, I'm really glad that you're here. I mean, one thing I'm constantly peppered with on the baseball side, because, of course, we also do the Razzball Baseball Podcast, is when are we going to get Sky on? So, you know, we're trying to get you, you're a 2-sport athlete right now. We're trying to get you to focus on football, because that's probably where eventually you'll turn pro. But, you know, maybe one time we'll try and slip you on the baseball side.
Well, you know, the big thing was I was a little nervous to try and do this, but then after I heard Gray's rendition of Better Man, I was like, you know, it can't really get any worse, so I figure I might as well hop on here.
No, compared to most of the guys in the Razzball Writers Lab, you're probably one of the best spoken, so we're just happy to have you.
Well, and I'm happy to be here.
All right, let's get right into the football stuff. We are going to be focusing on the rest of the podcast on the players that were drafted, but what we're going to do is take a few minutes right now with Sky and discuss some of the major moves that have happened in the offseason. And let's start off, Sky, I'd love your take on what's going to happen with Chip Kelly going to the Eagles, because I think there are so many questions there in terms of the quarterbacks, in terms of the running backs, tight end. I mean, every skill position is up in the air because no one knows how his Oregon system, or Oregon,
Oregon. System is going to translate to Philly. So tell me what you think.
Well, in all honesty, I think we've kind of already seen what Chip Kelly can bring via Bill Belichick. There's rumors that before the Pats kind of sped up their offense, that he had actually met with Chip Kelly to see, you know, how he was, you know, pushing plays, and the Pats led the league in offensive plays per line of scrimmage or whatever. I think the big thing to realize is that it's not so much the style of play, but it's the speed of the game that he is going to change if he's going to bring anything. You know, throughout college, he brought in tons of different arms at the quarterback, and there was always a successful offense at hand. So, you know, there'll probably be some read option if Vic does stick, which I'm pretty hesitant to say that he will. But overall, all the skill players are going to get a huge bump. I'm big on LeSean McCoy this year. I'm also big on the two wide receivers this year, Macklin and DeSean Jackson. I think with the style of play, I think with all those amount of plays they're going to get from the line of scrimmage, they're going to have a huge year. You might have a hard time hitting when who is going to do what every week, but offensively it's going to be pretty fast. So
okay. Let's go through some of the other key moves that have happened in the offseason. One of my favorite players in the NFL to one of the teams that I've had the most fun watching the last couple of years, Percy Harvin, goes to the Seahawks. What's your take?
In all honesty, it's a sideways move. I think a lot of people want to see this as this huge offensive explosion for Percy, but I can't even remember the numbers on his pace, but last year was pretty ridiculous, namely because he was the only wide receiver in town in Minnesota. Not that Sidney Rice and Golden Tate are going to turn in all pro years, but I think Percy Harvin is going to be good, but I wouldn't be overdrafting him. I think some people are going to try to see him as a high-end wide receiver one, but in all honesty, he's still going to be that you know, wide receiver 15 type player that, but it will improve Seattle. It's going to help out Russell Wilson. He's got more tools in the toolbox there, and it's going to also help out Marshawn Lynch. The offense is going to get scarier in Seattle than it already was last year, which is a lot to say. But him in and of himself is just the sideways move.
I'm also too. I don't need you to comment on this, but just one comment from me. Who I think is actually going to emerge as the best running back out of this class. It might not be this year, but Christian Michael from A&M, if he can keep his head on straight, I think is a great backup, even ahead of Turbin for Lynch, just because of Lynch's style. So I'm excited to see what he does. Let's talk about another running back that I absolutely love watching. He's been one of my most favorite players the last 7-8 years in the NFL. That's Steven Jackson. I keep waiting for him to run out of gas, but I'm curious what you think he's going to be able to do in Atlanta this year.
I'm predicting a huge year. If the running back class for 2013 right now, well, everyone's healthy, you know, which we'll be able to, you know, figure out by June or July, that only half of them are, I'm sure. But right now, I have him as somebody that could easily be, he's already a top 10 back, but he could easily finish the year as a top 5. I mean, Michael Turner was not getting the job done at the goal line. And, you know, Steven Jackson knows how to get it, get that ball in. He's definitely somebody that should be a top 5 running back if he stays healthy.
What about Reggie Bush going to Detroit? Because that's another player I've been waiting for him to finally emerge. You can say he emerged in Miami the last couple of years. I know there's been a lot of talk about how many passes he might catch in Detroit, but I'm still not a big Reggie Bush fan. Am I wrong?
You know, I'm kind of split on that subject. One thing's for sure, in bringing Reggie Bush in, we no longer have to worry about Mikel, who he looked terrible last year. I mean, there was nothing exciting about what he did, and I think a lot of people fell in love with him because of the touchdowns. But that was about 40% of his, you know, fantasy output for the year was touchdowns, which is something you just can't count on. And you can ask that of any Stafford or Calvin Johnson owner last year. You just can't count on touchdowns every year. But I do see a year in which he could easily put up, he could put up 60 receptions, but I doubt he will. He's probably going to end up with 50 plus though. Splitting some carries with Mikel getting the short yardage, and with, I'm not going to pronounce this right, Joakim Bell I see him as more the emerging as the backup to Reggie, and then slowly pushing Mikal out.
I still think Detroit needs offensive line help, and they didn't get it in the draft, so I'm not too crazy about Reggie Bush this year. Let's move on to another player whose skill set just oozes upside. And I don't want to say he never quite put it together in Tennessee, because he did have a pretty good year 2 years ago, but there's a lot of buzz about Jared Cook going to the Rams. I love what the Rams did. They had a very solid draft 2 years ago. This year they went for playmakers on both sides of the ball, and I think it's going to be an interesting opportunity to open up that offense. And just by seniority, Jared Cook is the most experienced pass catcher there, period. What do you think about Cook going to the Rams?
I'm pretty big on it. This is a put up or shut up year for Bradford. That's pretty much exactly what they're drafting around him. They've got all this talent to surround him with. They replaced Amendola with another, you know, slot receiver type that also even fills even a Percy Harvin role with Austin there. And, you know, you couple that with Quick and Chris Givens and Jared Cook, that should be an explosive offense there if Sam Bradford finally lives up to his potential, which has been a question mark, to say the least. So I'm huge on all those receivers there if Bradford does his job.
I want to be fair to Bradford. I don't think he's ever had the right tools, but I think this is a put-up or shut-up year for him. Speaking of put-up or shut-up, it definitely looks like it's Jeff Ireland's last year of his contract, the GM of the Dolphins. They signed everybody this year. How do you think Tannehill specifically is going to be affected by the offensive upgrades they made?
I love Tannehill. I really liked him coming into this year. I felt like he's a bit of a sleeper. He rounded out the year really well, and not many people noticed it. And I don't have the stats up in front of me, but he started running the ball a lot more. And I really think he's going to be a solid QB2. I think a lot of people, you know, if you're out there that you're trying to draft your backup quarterback or your QB2, and you're going to look at Carson Palmer or a Joe Flacco type, I would rather pass those guys up, you know, despite their track record, and go for Tannehill, because there's huge upside there with all the surrounding talent that he's got now.
Okay, what I want to do, there's a few more players I want to hit real quick in the time that we do have, so just give me really tiny capsules here.
Mm-hmm.
Amendola to the Patriots. Good? Bad?
Beautiful. I love it.
Welker to the Broncos.
He's on his way out. He's not going to be catching more than 80 passes this year.
Revis to Tampa Bay. Does that really upgrade them as a DST?
If he comes back healthy, they were first in rush defense and last in pass defense. If he can step up, that defense gets a huge upgrade.
Greg Jennings to the Vikings.
I definitely like it with the Cordarrelle Patterson signing. Ponder is kind of in the same Bradford mold. It's a put up or shut up now that they're surrounding him with some talent. And there was rumors that Percy was kind of a nag on him to catch passes. So now it's kind of his job to step in. So
Kevin Cobb to Buffalo.
I actually like this move. I think a lot of people are seeing the EJ Manuel and thinking he's going to take over. Kevin Cobb was solid last year before he got hurt behind that horrendous line. And the Buffalo Bills line is pretty decent. So he could easily step in as another surprise QB2 to ride this year.
Carson Palmer to the Cardinals.
Kevin Cobb got killed. Carson Palmer will too. I'm surprised the guy doesn't. I think he is concussed from how far he's been throwing the ball. He's not going to be staying healthy all year, in my opinion. Though he is an upgrade over Skelton and Lindley, but I don't think I need to say that.
Chris Ivory to the Jets.
Oh, I love this man. he's Marshawn Lynch light, and I'm going to be drafting him everywhere this year.
Huh. Okay, we'll watch that. And then the last question I have for you. Give me a real quick opinion here. Gronkowski's injury, Hernandez's injury. Does one of them emerge this year? What do you project for both of them?
I haven't gotten into projections with those two because of those injuries. It makes Jake Ballard a little bit more interesting. It was a move that kind of surprised everyone when the Pats swept him off of waivers because they had those two. But now in looking at the injury history, it's starting to look like a really smart move by the Pats. Ahern's supposed to start the year on the pup list right now. And Gronk, he keeps partying. It's kind of hard to heal infections and stuff when you're going down and having sex with 14-year-olds in Aruba.
Whoa. You said 44-year-olds, correct? That's what you said, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. We're only in cougar mode around here.
Sky, this was fantastic. We really appreciate you having you on. We're going to try and figure out how to get you on when we start doing the regular season football podcast, which are going to kick off in August. If you have football questions in the offseason, you can always connect with my man at Sky_Razzball. Sky, we love you here.
And we love you back. And it's a royal we.
Thanks, buddy.
Talk to you later.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. Okay, so let's have a little chat about the greatest thing to happen to sports since the NFL lobbied Washington to make fantasy a skill game. Believe it or not, you can actually play fantasy sports daily. That's right, daily. For real money. That's right, real money over at DraftKings.com. So who are DraftKings, you might be asking? Well, they're the leader in daily fantasy sports, and they're based in the good old US of A in Boston. So you know they're wicked. The site is beautiful and incredibly easy to use and play. But how do you play? Okay, good question. So the way it works is you get a salary cap based on one day, and each player is assigned a dollar value based on their skill level. So let's just say, for example, and we're just using this random numbers I'm picking, but let's say the salary cap for today is $10,000. Do you pick Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback with a $3,000 salary? Or maybe you like Ryan Tannehill's matchup this week, and he's only going to cost you $1,200, leaving you cash for other top-shelf players at other positions. It's the ultimate management game. So you can fill out your roster for the day and then track your game on the leaderboard. Know what else is cool? There's games that are free, and then the buy-in games range from $2 to a couple $100. There's all kinds of tournaments as well, so head over to DraftKings.com to see what they've got. Now you're probably thinking, hey, I don't want to wait till football season. I want to get my daily fantasy fix now. I hear you. So here's the beauty of the situation. Are you into hockey or basketball? There's games going on right now for the playoffs. Into baseball, there's tons, and I mean tons, of daily tournaments going on right now. And no worries, there's all kinds of options if you want the big tournaments, like the $100,000 Spring Fling. And again, daily, smaller tournaments. There's also step tournaments. There's all kinds of stuff here. There's really a lot of options. But here's the big one for baseball this year. It's the Chase for the Crown 2, which has over $5 million in play. That's what I said. $5 million. That's pretty sweet. Lastly, if you want to take on Rudy and myself from Razzball, we play every Friday night in the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. There's a link to the on the Razzball baseball site. Also, when football season starts up, we'll do a similar tournament where you'll get to play against us in the daily game. Now, this tournament is only open to Razzballers, and what they've done for us at DraftKings, again, because it's just for Razzball readers, more than half the people are going to win their $5 entry fee back, but there's way more than that on the table. And the cool thing about the Friday night contest is that it's actually a money loser for DraftKings. So not only are most of the people winning their money back, but they also throw in really cool, well, there's a really cool cash prize, of course, to the winner. But also, you're going to get opportunities to get tickets into these special tournaments, again, like the Spring Fling. So there's only room for 50 people in the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. Again, that happens Fridays. Go over to Razzball Baseball. JB writes a post every Friday. Click on the link there. You can be one of the 50 people. Again, it's only $5, so come and kick our asses.
The Razzball Podcast, running backs.
I'm very excited to have one of the brightest football minds in the Razzball world on with me right now. I have Murph, all the way from California. Murph, welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
It's a pleasure. And you can always follow him at @ThatMurph on Twitter, of course. So, Murph, you're joining us today. We're going to talk specifically about the 2013 draft that just happened. We're talking rookies. We want to talk about guys who are going to have an impact in 2013. And we're starting with you, and you're covering off running backs. So let me start at the top of the list. What do you think Giovanni Bernard's 2013 potential is in the situation he fell into with Cincinnati?
I wrote about this in one of my posts, and I think it's a perfect situation for him. The Bengals really struggled to find balance between Cedric Pyramid and Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis, just kind of like a plotter.
Okay.
And Gio Bernard gives them that dynamic, versatile running back that they need, a threat out of the backfield in the passing game, and also he can grind out those yards in the middle.
I know potentially long-term he might be the best running back in this class, but do you think he'll actually be the number one fantasy running back in 2013?
I think that if the Bengals switch to the offense that they're looking for, he has a really good chance. I'm not a big fan of Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis, and I just think he gets a good shot here.
Okay, sounds good. Let's talk about the next guy on the list. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it. I think it's Le'Veon Bell, who went to Pittsburgh in the second round.
Yeah, surprising pick here. They passed up on Eddie Lacy and took a really powerful runner in Le'Veon Bell. He had a very good career at Michigan State, and I think he fits perfectly in this offense.
How do you think the line's going to hold up? Can he contribute right away this year?
There are some concerns with the line, but even some very unimpressive runners in Jonathan Dwyer and Isaac Redmond had success in fantasy, so Le'Veon Bell is probably, you know, much better back than them, and I think he can have success.
I like Antonio Brown, and I like Manny Sanders. I'm worried without Mike Wallace there to take the top off the defense, how the running game is going to look. Also, they still have offensive line questions. And with all due respect, I love Ben Roethlisberger, but I think it's fair to call him rickety. So I'm less enthused about Bell this year, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
With that being said, I agree 100%. But, you know, they could just lean on the run a little bit more and just increasing his value.
Okay, let's talk about one of the guys who right now, post-draft, is getting a lot of hype as the one who might be able to contribute the most going into the season, and that's Monty Ball to the Denver Broncos.
I'm getting pretty excited here. I mean, it's hard to predict what John Fox is going to do with his running backs, but as we saw with No'Shawn Moreno, even a very average back can be effective in a Peyton Manning offense. And I think Ball's that type of guy. And if he gets a chance, he's going to be a big contributor in fantasy.
Okay, what about Zach Stacy going to St. Louis? Because I think it's an undefined situation. Daryl Richardson did some good work last year, but I think he might project longer term to a second back in rotation. I think Isaiah Pete has a lot of potential, but we didn't get an opportunity to see it last year. A lot of buzz is that Stacy might have a quick opportunity to be productive. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Richardson and Pete are kind of, you know, the same type of runners. They're just those speed backs that are really situational. And by them drafting Zach Stacy, that shows they're looking for that every down guy. And I think he can be that. He's that kind of runner like Ray Rice or Maurice Jones-Drew. Does he have the same kind of talent? I'm not sure, but I'd be excited if he got the starting role.
Let me ask you about a running back that I think has a chance long-term, maybe not this year, but long-term to emerge as the best running back out of this class. Christian Michael from A&M, I think, is built as prototypical as a running back as you'd want in the NFL. What are your thoughts on Christian Michael?
Yeah, he was one of my favorites before his landing spot behind Marshawn Lynch. But with the running backs they drafted, you got to think the Seahawks are looking to the future. And he could be the starter in 2014, and the Seahawks could go ahead and cut him just to save some money. So with Christian Michael, if you're looking at a dynasty league and you get him, you could be looking at having the starter in 2014 in a great offense.
And that's the way I look at it. Plus, you know, I'm here in Toronto. I watch a lot of Bills games. I've just seen the pounding over the year that Marshawn Lynch takes. I know there's some rare examples of running backs who can take that kind of beating and keep going, like a Steven Jackson. But I am concerned that once the wheels come off the Marshawn Lynch Skittles Express, it might happen quick. So I think Michael has a lot of upside there, especially over someone like Robert Turbin, who I also like. But I think Michael is just so dynamic that we might be talking in 2 years that he was far and away the best back. At least that's my take on it.
I agree with you.
Okay, let's really quickly here, give me a bust out of this year's rookie running back class.
I hate to say this because he was the big hype coming in, but Eddie Lacy. You saw the Steelers pass on him in the first round, and that's mostly due to a lot of concerns with his health. And I just don't think he has a long shelf life in the NFL. I don't know if the motivation's there. And also being in Green Bay, when's the last time we saw a fantasy-relevant running back in Green Bay? I mean, I think you have to go back to Ryan Grant in 2008, 2009. So I just don't see it happening there.
Okay, and who's your sleeper this year?
My sleeper's a guy I've talked up a lot. He landed in a good spot. And he might be the David Wilson of this year, where we're just waiting and waiting and waiting.
But Jonathan Franklin, behind Eddie Lacy, could take that starting job. He's such a threat in the passing game that he could be an impact player. And he's kind of my sleeper now that he's kind of going to be ignored because of his landing spot.
Yeah, that's interesting. I could absolutely see that happening. Let me just go off topic here before we wrap up, Murph. I'd like to talk to you about, because Kyle, our super producer, is a huge Eagles fan, and I know everyone's going to be watching the Chip Kelly situation. How do you see the ball distribution between McCoy and Bryce Brown? I know Brown had a couple of huge games last year, but the upside there is incredible. He's just got to work on holding onto the ball. How do you see that split potentially working out?
Yeah, I mean, little known fact is Bryce Brown is one of the top high school recruits coming into college. He's had his off-field issues. And it's hard to speculate what Chip Kelly is going to do. I mean, right now we're just guessing. But I think that McCoy is that guy, and he's going to get the bulk of the carries unless we see some type of injury. I like Bryce Brown, but not sure he gets the opportunity to be a big contributor this year.
All right, good stuff. Murph, I really appreciate you joining us today. You did great. And again, you can always follow him on Twitter at ThatMurph.
Thanks, Nick.
The Razzball Podcast. Wide receivers.
Continuing on with our rookie review, we now have J.B. Gilpin. You know him from the baseball side. He writes not only for baseball, football, but he's also the editor at basketball on Razzball.com. He's versatile. You can follow him on Twitter at J.B. Gilpin, J-B-G-I-L-P-I-N. And again, I mentioned this a couple times on the baseball podcast. If you want someone to interact with who will have time to answer your questions and really help you out with your whatever fantasy sport you're playing, talk to my man, J.B. J.B., welcome to the first Razzball Football Podcast of 2013.
Football's back. Start heating up that David Wilson hot tub.
You know, all right. For those of you who may not have listened last year, I was enthralled with David Wilson. I held out all year for David Wilson. Obviously had the one big game. Looks like he might be the starter in New York. You want to just quickly comment on that, JB?
He's going to be overdrafted.
Okay, fair enough. So, JB, you're taking us through the wide receivers and their potential impact from the group of gentlemen that were drafted last week. Let's start off with the number one guy you have ranked. Of course, he was the first, not just wide receiver, but skill position player off the board. Tavon Austin goes to St. Louis.
Yeah, really interesting pick. They traded up to get him, I believe. He's going to fill in Danny Amendola's void right away. You know, not to sound sexual there. But, you know, they needed a playmaker to catch the ball. Sam Bradford is a usable quarterback. I think he'll be able to get a lot of receivers' looks in this high. It's going to be more high-speed offense. I think he could push for 80 catches. I think he's the only fantasy-ready wide receiver right now.
So he's a real burner. We understand that. Do you see him getting the ball in space and then trying to make plays? Because I don't think Amendola was more of a, I don't want to say a possession receiver, but I don't think that's what Austin is.
No, I agree. I just meant as a comp of where he's going to line up in the slot. I don't think he's going to get a lot of those constant one catch for 4 yards. They may throw it to him short often to try to get him in space. But definitely the speed is going to make him a little bit different, and he's not going to have the hands Amendola did right away, so you're going to have some rough games probably. But they also are going to have him returning kicks, it's looking like, and that could be an extra touchdown here and there, you know, maybe two next year.
Okay, next guy you have on the list is DeAndre Hopkins. He went in the first round, 27th overall, to the Texans. Tell me about him.
Oh, yeah, Matt Schaub actually texted him during the draft, or I guess after he got drafted. I'm thinking that there's a little bit of good rapport hopefully going to go on there. Haven't seen a good fantasy wide receiver out of Houston beside Andre Johnson in forever, but they released Kevin Walter. Already looks like Hopkins might line up on the other side as Johnson to start the year as a starter. I would be more interested if we've seen more success from other Texans wide receivers besides AJ. But just the situation looks like he could be fantasy ready right at the fringe at the end of drafts as of right now.
But it's kind of like they're due. They're due for a second receiver, so why not gamble on Hopkins?
Exactly. And I'm tempering expectations, but the upside is there.
Okay, third on your list is Aaron Dobson. He went in the second round towards the end of the round to the New England Patriots. The only concern I have looking at this higher ranking from you is that the Patriots' offense is so complex. That being said, I'm curious to see what you think about Dobson.
Yeah, Dobson is a guy that a lot of people think the Patriots might have reached on a little bit, but he gives them a wide receiver that's a tall guy. He's 6'3", although to us that's not that tall, is it? but it gives them a good tall receiver to go across from Edelman and new acquisition Danny Amendola. But I mean, it's just, again, I'm tempering expectations, but the opportunity is there. The depth chart at wide receiver is really limited there for New England.
All right, and the reason he seems short to you and I, JB, is because we call you Big Biscuit because you're 6'8".
That's true.
I mean, that's big, man.
I love biscuits, too, so it's a win-win. Now, if there was a 6-foot biscuit out there, that'd be awesome.
Number four on your list is Terrence Williams, who went to the Cowboys. There's a lot of playmakers there, so I'm curious how you see him folding in and becoming a playmaker.
Yeah, he's a guy a little further down that I'm ranking a little higher now, again, because of situation. He's a real pure edge receiver. He can really help stretch the offense. Obviously, Dez Bryant is a huge playmaker doing the same thing, but I think Miles Austin's better set for the slot. Jason Witten's obviously losing a step the past couple of years. You know, with those guys going over the middle more often and more possession routes, and then you got Bryant and Williams on the edges going deep, I could see Williams having some really big games, but not being very consistent.
Number five on the list is Cordarrelle Patterson. Went in the first round to the Vikings. They traded up to get him. An interesting project because all kinds of skill. Tell me what you think about his 2013 prospects.
Yeah, a guy that got drafted a little higher than the last few guys we mentioned. But I still think he is out of the wide receivers selected the fifth best fantasy-wise. It's mostly because I just don't buy Christian Ponder. I don't buy that offense. I think Rudolph and Jennings are going to get a lot of looks, and Patterson's going to be very waffling behind them.
All right, who's your sleeper from this year's draft class at wide receiver?
I'm going pretty deep for a sleeper here. Kobe Hamilton to the Bengals in the sixth round. Everything you read about this guy from Arkansas is that he's a reliable wide receiver, very reliable. Does have some hands issues here and there, but you know, the Bengals just need a reliable receiver to go across from A.J. Green. I know Mohamed Sanu looked good at times last year, but then got hurt. I could see Hamilton being interesting in a second-half guy that is added in some leagues.
All right, who's your bust?
We already talked about him, but I'm going to call Patterson my bust, just because I think, you know, you see a first-round ticket, a first-round picked guy, a lot of people might draft him thinking that he could fill in the Harvin shoes. I just don't see it. I don't think Ponder's good enough to, you know, feed all the mouths there. I think he's the biggest bust.
I'm going to disagree. I see him doing potentially what Josh Gordon did last year in Cleveland. I think he's a big guy, a lot of skill. I think he can go up and get it. I'm actually curious to see what Patterson can do. You don't really want to gamble on wide receivers. You know, you're more considering someone like Patterson as a, you know, end of the draft pick or someone to observe on waiver wires. But I think going forward, Patterson has the skill set to be special.
Gotcha. So I mean, I think skills-wise, he's right up there with everyone else we talked to wouldn't be this far down. I'm just really nervous about that offense.
JB, thanks for joining us, Big Biscuit. Again, you can follow my man JB at JB Gilpin. Again, you need someone to interact from the Razzball Writers Lab. He is the guy who has his pulse on the Twitterverse. We'll talk to you soon, Big Biscuit.
Sounds good. Hey, and my Michigan bias didn't come through. I didn't rank Denard Robinson top five.
Oh, that's right. In case you don't know, JB has a big Michigan. Well, you know why? Because Jacksonville announced him as a running back. So I'm curious to see how they use him.
Well, that's true, but there's some places that listed him as util. I could have counted them, but I don't think he's going to be a huge NFL player.
I actually think he's going to be interesting to watch. I'm curious to see how they use him because I like what Jacksonville's upper management did. They had a very smart draft. So if they're going to take a chance on him in the fifth round, curious to see what they can turn him into. JB, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
The Razzball Podcast. Quarterbacks.
And last but definitely not least, you know Jay Wrong from the Baseball Podcast, but he covers baseball and football for Razzball.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Wrong. Welcome to the first fantasy football podcast of the year.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to discuss quarterbacks. It wasn't a big year for quarterbacks, so what we'll do is we're just going to touch on a couple of names who are most likely to have an impact in 2013. First guy you've got on the top of your list is EJ Manuel. Talk to me.
Yeah, EJ Manuel. He got selected in the first round, which was indeed a great moment for everyone, but probably the Bills. I have him there first just because he was picked first, and it was probably the worst pick of the first round. Actually, let me take that back. The worst pick was probably Dallas. I mean, a center. Who really does that?
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Jay Ron, because, look, Manuel could be a bust, but I think with the skill set they have and an innovative new head coach and coordinator, I'm curious to see what can happen there. I think also, too, just because Buffalo hasn't had a quarterback since Jim Kelly, it'll be, you know, it's worth rolling the dice. And I think they're going to mold, just listening to some of the Knicks, Buddy Knicks interviews, the GM of the Bills afterwards, I think they're going to mold the offense to his skill set. I think another thing that's really interesting was how he played at Florida State was, you know, just going after his primary receiver. And if it wasn't there, he ran. But I think what's going to happen here is that he's actually a really bright guy. He did well in the Wunderlich test. Not that that necessarily means something. I think there's more upside in EJ Manuel than necessarily it might look like right now.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand why he was taken so high by the Bills. He does have those physical tools, which you like. He showed them off plenty at the combine. He can show deep ball accuracy, but it's spotty. Actually, all of his accuracy is pretty spotty, and he does have some bad decision-making. I agree with everything you said. He's a project, though, and if the Bills decide to rush him, I think he'll flop. I mean, he could be the next Jason Campbell, or, you know, I'm sure the Bills see Colin Kaepernick as his upside, but they can really ruin him if they don't treat it right. And I'm kind of nervous about the first-round stigma that he'll carry with him.
Well, you know what? I think as we get closer to the season, we might have to put a little friendly wager, maybe lunch at Ben's Chili Bowl in D.C. On how Manuel produces in 2013.
Sounds good. You come out here, I'll get you that. But if I come up Toronto, what you got up there for me?
Buddy, this is like international city. What do you want?
I don't know. I hear there's good Chinatown up there.
We have three Chinatowns. I'm not kidding. We actually have three Chinatowns in Toronto. Like, Toronto is huge, and we have everything.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this.
Okay. Give me some duck, man.
Here's what Toronto Pure is probably known for, is, you know, Canadian bacon, pea meal bacon?
Yes.
Okay, so that on a toasted bun with hot mustard, that is probably the most authentic Toronto dish. So if you come up here, you know what, let's just put the bet now. I'm going to bet that EJ Manuel, I can't really say exceeds expectations.
Yeah.
I'll say EJ Manuel winds up being a top 20 quarterback in 2013, and I'll put lunch on it.
Wow, I'll take that. Yeah,
done. Let's talk about the other quarterback, the one that I don't think has as much upside, and that's Geno Smith, who went to the Jets. Talk to me about him.
Yeah, Geno Smith. He actually didn't show up on day two of the draft, and Florio actually had a hissy fit about it. He went on about, you know, he can't show grit and resolve. This proves that. I mean, Florio's just I don't know what he's trying to say there. I mean, does it take grit and resolve to sit in a room and wait for a call on your cell phone? I don't know what he was talking about. With Geno Smith, he has athleticism at the position, but he's pretty much a pocket passer. He's your prototypical pocket passer. He has a strong arm, does pretty well in bad weather, and he throws okay while scrambling. But the problem with him is it's just when he went against Big 12 teams, they basically took away shorter reads. They did disguised coverages, and it really put him in, you know, just he had issues with it, basically. He gets frustrated easily. And I see Geno Smith as another project, but the situation he's in, backing up butt fumble Mark Sanchez, is just not a good place for him to be because he might get rushed. They might decide to put him in there. Sanchez might get pulled. And if you really – I guess that's the story with the quarterbacks this year. It's just they're all developmental projects. They just they need the time. They need to be like you know, like Aaron Rodgers or Philip Rivers, who sat behind Pro Bowl QBs and learned from the best.
Right. And that's not happening to either of these quarterbacks. Okay, fair enough.
The Razzball Podcast. Tight ends.
Now, usually, Jay Rong, if you listen to you and I on the baseball podcast and you hear tight ends, you assume we're talking about a young Hollywood starlet, especially with all the gifts you put up on your Tumblr account. Again, you can follow my man Jay Rong at Jay Rong. But we're actually talking football here with tight ends.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. If you're talking about Jennifer Lawrence, I actually think we're about to break a record here because I think every podcast we've been on, we've mentioned her. So either subconsciously she'll pick up on it and appear as a guest, or she'll give me a restraining order. I don't know what's next. So
I figure it's a toss-up. Okay, looking at this year's class of tight ends, I think it's fair to say there's three that will have some sort of fantasy value in 2013. I have a list that you gave me here, and I tend to agree with you. First on the list is Tyler Eifert, who went to Cincinnati. What do you think?
Yeah, out of Notre Dame. He's a pretty good jump ball catcher, good route runner. He's pretty much solid all around. He's an okay blocker. That's come a long ways, which means in fantasy you don't really care, but it does give the opportunity for him to be a three-down tight end. He's good at the yak. It sounds silly when you say yak, so I'll just say yards after catch. And I kind of see him as a Heath Miller, which isn't, your prime fantasy football pick, but he's going to be solid. That's pretty much it. So
I'm just worried about he and Gresham cannibalizing each other's catches.
Yeah, I mean, Gresham is probably still the number one target, but I think when you have, in Cincinnati, I think in cold weather, you'll have the QB throw a lot of short reads, and that's gonna be divvied up between the tight ends and the running backs. So.
All right, next on the list, Philadelphia took Zach Ertz out of Stanford. What do you think?
Yeah, Zach Ertz, I'm actually a little bit low on just for the fact that Philly already has Celek and Casey, which I think are their primaries. He's probably a guy who will see more as the year goes on and maybe next season. He's also a dependable pass catcher. He led Stanford in the most receiving categories. And actually, we were talking about Jermaine Grissom, and I actually see Ertz as a Grissom clone almost because he's a big, physical, and agile guy. You know, he can move. He's a good route runner. So.
Okay, good stuff. And the last guy we're going to cover off on tight ends is actually the tight end I think, if there's going to be an out-of-nowhere tight end that has a big season this year, if Witten gets hurt or whatever happens, I really like the upside of Gavin Escobar.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, Nick, I struggled with this last slot because I wanted to mention Jordan Reed and Travis Kelce of the Redskins and Chiefs respectively because they're in good situation. Well, probably not Kelce because the Chiefs are just horrible. But with Gavin Escobar, I like him because he's a former basketball player that always piques my interest because I go straight to my boy Antonio Gates. He's a huge target at 6'6". And while his speed isn't, you know, blistering, he has good hands. He's a good route runner. And, with Romo, he's going to need a good short read target. He really, Romo, I don't have enough adjectives right now to describe how I feel about Romo. But Escobar, I think, will match up well. And Romo will use him a lot this year, I think. I just have that feeling.
Jay Rong, thanks for joining us on the first Razzball Football Podcast of 2013.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
The Razzball Podcast.
Thanks for joining us for the first Razzball Football Podcast of 2013. We will be coming out with regular weekly episodes in August. In the meantime, if you have any off-season football questions, of course, you can interact with our staff at @Sky_Razzball or at JB Gilpin are probably your best bets if you have football questions and you want to be in the know. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you in August.